Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. This is Discipleship Lessons for John's Letters, and we're looking at the epilogue right at the end. The churches at Ephesus and the surrounding cities to which 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written certainly received much attention during the apostolic era. From 52 to 55 A.D., the Apostle Paul founds the church in Ephesus and then teaches in Ephesus for about 2 years, even working some spectacular miracles so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Then in 57 A.D., Paul meets with the Ephesian elders, probably the house church pastors, on the beach at Miletus, warning them of the divisions that would come. 60 to 62 A.D., Paul writes the letter to the church at Ephesus and to the nearby church at Colossae to deal with heresies that were arising in the churches. 80 to 98, the Apostle John resides in Ephesus and teaches in the churches of the area, producing the Gospel of John as well as these three letters to bring correction to the heresies that are dividing the church. And 95 A.D., Jesus addresses the church at Ephesus in the first of the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. That's a lot of attention for this cluster of churches. So how did they do? As I look back on the strong teaching of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, three themes seem to stand out. One, a strong Christology of Jesus of Nazareth as the divine Son of God. Two, righteous living. And three, the command to love one another. Orthodox doctrine, holiness, and love. Jesus commends the church at Ephesus in his letter to them in Revelation. I'm reading Revelation 2, verses 2 to 3. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. So far, orthodoxy and high standards of righteousness, they seem to have succeeded. But at the point of love, the church is weak. Verses 4 and 5. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. They have failed to retain the love you had at first, John says. In fact, Jesus says they have left, abandoned, forsaken that love. Is Jesus referring to love for God? I don't think so. Verses 2 to 3 seem to indicate that their actions stemmed out of their love for God, for the sake of my name. So the lack of love probably refers to love for one another. My dear Christian brothers and sisters, to me, the implication is clear. Orthodox doctrine and right living are vital, but they are not enough. If we are loveless, if the world cannot see our love for one another and for them, then our Christian testimony is distorted and impotent. Love is Jesus' primary command. And at that command, we must not fail. The success of the whole Christian enterprise is dependent upon us continuing to love. In his commentary on Galatians 6:10, St. Jerome, who lived 347 to 420 AD, tells the story of blessed John the Evangelist in extreme old age at Ephesus. He used to be carried into the congregation in the arms of his disciples and was unable to say anything except, "Little children, love one another." At last, wearied that he always spoke the same words, they asked, "Master, why do you always say this?" "Because," he replied, "it is the Lord's command. And if this only is done, it is enough." Let's pray. Father, help us to love. Teach us to love. Teach our churches to love, that they might be loving places, healing places in the midst of a world that is not filled with love. Help us, God. We repent of our lovelessness and our self-centeredness. Teach us to love. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.